Well, tonight I want to talk to you about Satan, the seed picker. I don't want to give him any undue attention, but I do want to give you a heads-up warning that there's something that he wants to do in your life that can disturb you, disillusion you, disappoint you, and the attempt to destroy you. And it has to do with your receiving God's word. To say it in a country way, he's against it. There's warfare against you receiving the word of God into your life. And so we're going to be looking. You'll find this parable of the soils in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what we call the synoptic gospels. They kind of see the sequence the same way, which is what that word synoptic means. Those first three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Jesus tells the parable of the soils. I'm not going to break that whole parable apart. We're going to dial in on one particular area. And we find that in Mark chapter 4, verse 3, as Jesus begins to tell this parable, he says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it." Now that's where I get the seed picker part. If you can just imagine a freshly cultivated garden, and the rows have been laid off, it's been the turning plow's gone through to turn it over, and you've got it ready to sow the seed, and you're sowing seed. And, you know, you're going to cover it back up. But some of it falls over on the wayside, the side of the garden. It's the place that's trampled under. It hasn't been broken up. It's hard. And so he's given us that imagery there of the sower who's broadcasting seed. And he said some of that seed fell on the wayside. When we get to the end of the story, he tells us what that part of the parable meant. This is where he's explaining it. The sower sows the word. In other words, the seed represents the word of God. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown where? In their hearts. So the soil here, in this parable, the soil represents human beings. And he talks about the soil by the wayside. These are people on the wayside that receive the word and are the word sown to them. And then he tells about the rocky soil and where the seed falls, and it takes root. But it can't go very deep because it's rocky. And so the roots are shallow. It springs up, but then it withers away because of it. It doesn't have roots. And then he talks about the seed that fell among the thorny soil, the thorns and the weeds. And it gets rooted and springs up, but there's so much competition from the weeds and thorns, it says the word is choked. And then he ends it by talking about the good soil that the seed fell into, and it got rooted, and it sprung up, and it bore fruit. And this is how the goal of that story is this. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now that's the goal, to sow the word, and where it's received, and hearts that are open, there's not that competition of all the things going on in the world, the cares of the world, that's what the thorns represent. They're going deep in the word, getting anchored, and so when the sun comes out, they won't wither. So all the impediments are out of the way. This is good soil. They're anchored, and not like the rocky ones. They're stable, not like the thorny ones, but they're in good soil, and they produce 30, 60, some 100-fold increase in their life. But we're going to focus in the time we have tonight on the first part of this story about the seed that fell on the wayside and the birds came and devoured it, because we're told here that the sower sows the word in verse 4:14, it says, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. The activity of Satan is involved in keeping people from hearing, receiving, and obeying God's word. And if you read all these parables, Jesus mentioned, so that they won't be saved. That word saved can have an expanded meaning. It can mean saved as in salvation, saved from your sin. It can mean to be made whole, to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free. All the benefits, blessings, and power of the word, the enemy is going to resist that. He's going to do things to try to keep you from receiving it so that you will not benefit by it. And so let's draw some observations from these couple of verses that we've read. And the first thing I want to share with you is this. You need to realize the spiritual battle that takes place around God's word. Because when Jesus explains this section, he says Satan comes. The birds of the air represent Satan. Now, those birds, you see birds sitting on limbs, birds in our day sitting on a wire, and they have sharp, keen eyesight, and they're just looking for seeds to eat, or a bug that flies by, the things that they eat, a worm that pops up. They're keen, and they're looking. They thrive on that. In a similar way, Satan is watching. He is observing. He are his demonic hordes that he has doing his bidding, observing where the word is being sown. Why? Because that's the thing that can damage his empire more than anything else, is people getting the word, hearing the gospel, getting saved, getting the word, start growing spiritually, learn to use your spiritual weaponry, get in the word, deepen your faith, learn how to pray in the spirit, get in the word, understand the power of the blood of Jesus, start appropriating that in your life, and then things start changing. So there is a spiritual battle around the receiving of God's word. The lost person, when you're praying for that lost individual, and when the gospel comes, he's going to do everything he can to distract people from paying attention to the gospel. Why? Because that gospel has the power to liberate them from Satan's grip. They're in Satan's domain until they give a yes to Jesus Christ. There's warfare around that. And even as believers, there's warfare around us trying to get in the word. It may be sometimes in a message that you're having to battle to pay attention, or you're being distracted, and there's warfare sometimes. Now, I'm not blaming everything on the enemy. Sometimes it's just our flesh, okay? But we're told here by Jesus Christ himself that Satan wants to come and steal, devour, get that word so that you don't get that word. That's the warfare. Have you noticed, like, if you make a commitment, I'm going to have a time every day when I read the Bible. And you set aside a time, and maybe you got a chair you sit in, a recliner. I sit in a recliner, and you got your little setup there. You got your routine, and you open up the Word, and you start reading. Have you ever noticed how things begin popping in your mind that don't need to? Distractions. You get to thinking about, I need to remember this later. I need to remember this. I need to remember this. I need to remember this. And really, what you need to remember is that you're supposed to be reading the Word. You know, you need to be reading the Word and remember what it says. But sometimes there literally can be spiritual activity to distract you from receiving God's Word. And it's amazing how that happens. That's the reason often it's good to try to have a time when my best time's early, and the whole world snoring, and then it's just like, you know, me and Jesus. It's easier for me to hear during those times. Because when my eyes open, my brain takes off, and I have to be careful that I aim it at the right place to start with, or I'm off to the races, you know. Do you have those kind of issues? Distractions. Sometimes you got anxieties, the stuff from yesterday still weighing on you heavy, and it's hard to, you got your Bible open, and you're reading, and you realize, well, I think I've read a whole chapter, but what did I just read? You know, that because of our routine and our commitment, we do that. And I'm not saying that there's no benefit in that, but that it's a lot better when you really pay attention to what you're reading. God's Word is powerful. That's the reason there's spiritual warfare around it. I mean, it's the kryptonite to Satan's Superman, you know. It renders him powerless. And we know that. How do we know that? Because Jesus Christ himself, full of the Holy Spirit, who authored the scripture, when the devil showed up, what did Jesus do? He relied on the Word of God, the written Word, and he relied on the rhema Word, the Word that the Lord gives supernaturally in the moment. He lived on that Word. And even in the temptation, said, man can't live by bread alone, but by every rhema word that proceeds out of God's mouth. Jesus understood that when the battle was on and the flames were leaping up, so to speak, and Satan was bringing it on, he knew that it was the power of the Word of God that he would need to turn back the temptations that Satan was bringing. So we need to realize the spiritual battle that takes place around God's Word, and let that truth remind you of the power of God's Word. That's the reason there's warfare. If you wanted to pop your phone open and dive into a bunch of pornography, he won't distract you. Why? Because he's got you right where he wants you. And we have to understand these things. Or if you want to let your mind go off into some unwholesome thinking that gets you under a burden or anxiety or depressed or disillusioned or takes you into anger and rage and that kind of stuff, he won't interrupt that. He'll just let you and your flesh have a party, and he'll clap for you. But if you start like, you know, I'm going to change. I'm going to conquer this. I'm going to overcome this. And you start to that Word, you know that if I can get that Word in me about dealing with that lust, if I can get that Word in me about dealing with that depression, if I can get that Word in me about dealing with that anger, I get that Word in me, I'm going to overcome this thing. I'm going to break this off of me. Then he'll begin distracting. He'll begin disrupting. He'll try to entice you or lure you into some other sin. I believe sometimes he might even have somebody call you. It's amazing the ways that he will try to pull you away from the direction you're taking to receive what you need from the Lord. Amen? Yes. Second observation. You need to understand Satan's motive in stealing from you, the seed picker. Most of the time, a thief steals something because he wants it for himself. Or he wants it so he can trade for something that's valuable to him in some way. But that's not what the devil's up to when he's trying to devour and steal the Word that you're trying to receive. Now, he's not wanting it for himself. Really, he don't want anything to do with that Word. What he's wanting is you. And he knows if you're making a choice to want that Word, he's going to lose you. So he's not coming to steal that word because he wants it. He's coming to steal that word because he wants you. And again, sometimes you have to look at kind of the backdoor strategy on this and let that remind you, okay, I'm having to deal with all this distraction, this disruption, because what I'm about to do is extremely valuable to me, to liberate me and bring more freedom in my life. And that can encourage you instead of letting the distractions and disruptions and wrong thinking to lure you away. So you need to understand, it's your need for that word that awakens the greed in Satan to keep you from that word. You know, there's a selfishness involved in wanting what someone else has. But that's not what's going on with the enemy when he's wanting that word. He's wanting to separate you from that word. It's much, much darker than that. It's not just a selfish thing. It's straight out greed-ridden evil. He doesn't want you to have it. To me, there's a difference in someone being carnal, someone falling foolishly into sin, and that's not good. Don't get me wrong. No accolades for that at all. But it's a different level when something's just straight out evil, because the intent behind that is to hurt people. The intent behind that is to destroy. The intent behind that is, I don't want you happy. I don't want you joyful. I don't want you peaceful. I don't want things going good in your life. I don't want you to have it better. I don't want you to have it easy. I don't want you to know love. That's evil. And that's Satan. And we're to avoid that evil. You need to understand Satan's motive in stealing from you. Oh, he might send dark blessing your way and you think, my goodness, look at all this stuff that's happening. But wait till payday really comes. He'll thrill you and then he'll kill you. He'll fascinate you and then he will assassinate you. And he will build you up so he can take you down. Third observation from these verses we read, you need to discern the areas of hardness in your heart. We've got to do this. Where's this coming from in this passage? Because it's the seed. The seed's good. Seed's the word. It's good. But it falls on the wayside. And we're told these are the ones who the enemy devours it. They were trying to receive it in their heart. And that wayside is the hardened ground. To me, this is the picture of the person with the hard heart. You can almost see that seed, when it hits that ground, it bounces. Because that soil that's been turned and opened up, it's open. It receives that seed. But that hard place, it just bounces. And that's the one where Jesus said, so that they won't be saved, won't be rescued, won't be healed, won't be delivered. All that can go with that. So we need to realize that hardness in our hearts, because Jesus said receive it in their hearts. It's the hardness in our heart, resistance we have to the Word of God. And you know often what our resistance is rooted in. Now I'm talking primarily to people that have spent some time in the Word and that know the Lord, and it would apply to others as well, but I'm just saying this is for church folks too. A lot of times we'll stay away from the Word because we kind of already know what it says. Yeah, come on. And we don't want to humble ourselves to it. Right. And so we have that wall up. And we will be drawn to someone that can explain that word in a way that doesn't require us to repent. Isn't that true? That's our flesh man's drawn to that. We can have our cake and eat it too. So we have to stay on guard in these areas that are hardness, like, I don't want to change. Don't, you know, but the word, all you got to do, the word, I love what Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I'm sure that you, Pastor Doc and Pastor Larry, you've heard this quote. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said of the Word of God, the Word of God is like a lion in a cage. You don't have to defend that lion. All you got to do is just let it out. And that's the power of God's Word. And we have to discern the areas in of our life that don't want to receive the Word. And that's, even if you know the Word, listen, you can know what the Word says when you read it. I've had this happen hundreds of times. And it's amazing the times in the middle of a message you've studied and prayed over all week that once you start speaking out what you think the Lord's showing you, it's amazing at times how that when you're sharing what He's shown you, you're being faithful to share what He's shown you, you start seeing things He hasn't shown you till right then while you're saying it. And it kind of just falls in place there. That's the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. And that's that hiding God's Word in your heart. You can know what the Word says, but go ahead and read it that 113th time and watch God hit the trigger, hit the button, and then all of a sudden that thing you've read to your reader's sore, and then boom, there's something brand new you've never seen before. That's the reason you preach preach three or four sermons a day, every day, your whole life. And you're skimming the surface of what's in this book. Tonight, when I'm standing up here sharing just from these couple of verses, all around this world and all throughout the day because of how the time zones change, somebody, and many somebodies, and many somewheres are opening the Bible and preaching the Word of God. The Word is going forth. There are millions of believers in this world that are preaching, that are teaching, that are witnessing, that are sharing Christ, and the Word of God is being sown. It is Satan's nightmare. That's the reason it's so important that we stand on the integrity and the authority of the Word of God. Because it's life-changing. And we know it's life-changing, right? But dial in, make it personal. This is the point we're on. It's for the preacher too. What area in my life, what area in your life is resisting what God's Word requires of us, what God's Word says to us, and we're not willing to humble and get in a line with it? And every time we do that, there's an area of blessing that we're not receiving that we could receive if we'd humble ourselves and line up with what the book says. You need to discern the areas of hardness in your heart. Why? Because that hard heart won't receive the Word. That makes it easier for Satan to get it. It's like seed lying on top of the ground, just like these birds here. Pick, pick, pick. Easy pickings. Low-hanging fruit, so to speak. You must receive the Word with humility and patiently obey it in faith. Now, I took this part of the Scripture. I did my little daily devotional I do on Facebook on this verse yesterday, and it just kept growing on me. And I thought, well, I feel like I'm just to share that tonight. And that's what I'm doing. But it just it came to me that what Jesus is saying here, the hard heart, that area of hardness, that's the area that most needs that word. Right? The area in your life where you, listen to me, the area in your life where you're most needing to hear that rhema word so that you can get some victory, that area that you're resisting, that you know, I need to change in this area, that area where you most need the word, that is the easiest area for Satan to distract you and keep you from receiving it. Because Jesus said that seed fell on the wayside, that's the hard place, it's not penetrating, it's not getting in, and the bird can just fly down and just pick away. It's not hidden under the soil, not gotten in there. It's just picking away, easy pickings. So sometimes when we're opening up the Word and maybe things go to another level to get you away from that or following through and obeying, that might be an indicator, hey, you need to revisit and you need to dig in and break through and get that Word. How you do that? You have to receive the word with humility and patiently obey it in faith. You see, there's a difference in getting in the word and the word getting in you. And when we read the goal there, Jesus said that about that patiently obeying and patiently receiving, you know, with patience. And you can read it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and each of them give a little insight into this. Jesus said in Luke 8:15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. In other words, patiently, you receive that word and you act on it, you obey, you can bank on it. It's going to produce. Why? Because there's life in that seed. And that whatever word you planted, that's a seed. Whatever that word is, that's what that fruit's going to be produced. If it's a promise about healing and you're hiding it in your heart and it gets rooted, what's going to be the fruit of that promise of healing that you're hiding in your heart and you're obeying and you're believing and you're praying into it patiently? It's not like, well, I asked and I didn't get it. It must not be God's will. No, you've got to obey. You've got to observe. You've got to hide it. You've got to cultivate it. You've got to, you know, expose it to the sun, the S-O-N. You need to keep watering it, the washing of the water of the Word. Let the roots go down deep, and then the fruit will start coming forth, which is the fifth thing, the last thing that I want to share with you. Is you will bear fruit and experience godly increase in your life. If you do that, if you'll observe, receive it, heed it, obey it, be patient, you will bear fruit and experience godly increase in your life. Jesus said some will bear 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. What's it contingent upon? Does that mean the word's more powerful sometimes than others? No, it means that some soil is better than others. The soil represents the posture of our heart. You know, the humility in our heart, the willingness to receive what's required of us when we read the word. Bless those that curse you. I don't want to bless them. Well, yeah, that's the answer of our flesh. Do good to those that mistreat you. I don't want to do that. You know? Jesus didn't say it that easy. He said the fruit comes when you're patient about it. Doing it the way the Lord wants to do it will usually not be the way the world says to do it. But we are not called to live by the standard of the world. We are called to live by the standard of the Word. Please teach your children the importance and the authority of this book in their life? Be honest with them. Son, you know, sweet daughter, this book is always true, and I believe it. Now, if you don't see in Daddy's life what this book says, don't let Daddy get in the way. You go with the book. We need to be humble, and we need to always have a high regard for the Word of God. I assure you, speaking of Satan's strategy to keep people from receiving the words, and I'll say this as kindly as I can, there are plenty of people in areas where our children are being taught, where our children receive information, that they're going to tell them 180 degrees. In other words, the exact opposite of what this book says. And they're going to be working overtime to say, people that believe that book are just old-fashioned. They're just cronies. You know, they don't understand the modern way. That's just superstition. All this stuff to make the truly wise people look like bumbling idiots. You shall be as gods if you do it my way. Does that sound familiar? I already belong to God. I think I'll do it His way. We're already sons and daughters of God. Amen, as believers. Let's do it Daddy's way. You will bear fruit and experience godly increase in your life. Now, isn't it interesting? He didn't say you double your crops or triple them. He starts at 30. That's pretty good math. I mean, if you had a business and you were making 30 times every time you put a dollar down into your business, you made 30. That wouldn't be bad, would it? But what if you were making 60 every time you put a dollar down? Or what if you made a Benjamin every time you laid down a George Washington?
Hallelujah.
That's pretty good profits, right? That's God's math. That's God's increase. And the things that have lasting, eternal value. And Jesus said in this life also, I believe God wants to bless us. But all this that we are so tethered to here will pass away. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. Amen. Thank the Lord for Jesus' parable in Mark 4. Stand with me. And let's conclude tonight with just time of examining our hearts, and let's just bow our heads for a moment. And I believe, I know one thing the Lord's spoken to me is about more seriously make, you know, when I'm reading the Word, Lord, speak to the areas in my own heart. You know, sometimes even as a preacher, you're just kind of in preaching mode and you see sermons, you know, but I don't want to ever get in that rut. You know, I want a rhema. I want a fresh word. I want something that's got life on it. But we need it for our daily living. You need it for your business. You need it for your children. You need it for your marriage. You need it for your health. You need it for your finances. So let's just ask the Lord tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, shine your light on my heart. Show me areas that need to change so that my life will improve from your perspective. Let me drill a little deeper. Could we ask the Lord tonight? Could we come up with one thing? I think that thing will probably pop up. Ask the Lord to help you in that area. Ask Him to give you revelation out of His Word to deal with that propensity to gossip, or to deal with that envy, or to deal with that anger or to deal with stuff your tongue wants to say or to deal with the places your thoughts want to carry you or the thoughts that carry you to wrong places. Ask Him to help you. Lord, help me in this area. And just name that area to Him. You don't have to do it out loud where anybody else can hear. But mouth it to Him. Do you believe He would hear a prayer like that? Oh, you know He will. He's waiting on us to pray those prayers. Let's take a couple of minutes and pray that prayer and spend some time. Holy Spirit, shine Your light on any hard areas in my life, any areas of resistance, any areas where You're calling me to change and I'm not been willing to get on that bus with You. God, give grace tonight. Convict us tonight. Challenge us tonight. And may we humble ourselves. Lord, You give grace to the humble. Help us to humble ourselves. Let's keep our heads bowed and just in a place of prayer, and Andrew's going to sing this over us.
You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. So take this life and breathe on.
Our prayer team members, if you'll slip on up to the front.
This heart that is now yours. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world.
If you need someone to pray with you, just slip on up to the front.
Take
they're here.
This life and breathe on.
They'll love on you and pray for you.
This heart that is now yours.
Keep praying.
And oh, the joy I found surrendering my crown at the feet of a has drawn near to me, and oh, the peace that comes.
Grant Your peace, O Lord.
When I'm broken and undone by Your
join Him and sing.
You can have it all, Lord.
Lord, we yield to You tonight.
Every part of my world. So take this life and breathe on. This heart that is now yours.
Those of you joining us online, we encourage you to yield your hearts as well. Now, God bless each and every one of you. May His grace be strong upon you this week. Let your light shine. Be a witness to someone. Invite someone to come and worship with us. It can be life-changing for them. May God bless you and keep you. May He surround you with His holy angels and lead you by His Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This altar's open if anyone needs prayer.